raise your hand, we'll stop. But wanted to offer a appreciation of what Wells Home Missions has been doing, is doing. We previewed that a little bit for those that were in early service. You saw the map. I'm not going to show that map again right now, but I want to give an overview and maybe an understanding of the home mission work that's going on in our district, so somewhat local, and then we'll spend a little bit of time, maybe about a third of that and two-thirds, saying, well, how did things get going over in Reno and Sparks where I'm at? So that's kind of my goal. So if you got questions or comments throughout that, we'll stop and we'll take those. So let's ask the Lord's blessing then on our time. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We are glad for the opportunity to hear your word. We are glad for the privilege to share your word. We are glad that we are part of a fellowship of believers that is seeking earnestly to reach the lost. Help us to appreciate the work that has been done, and help us to see the opportunities, the harvest fields that are ripe before our eyes. Bless our time and study in your word this morning. Amen. So I'm just going to kind of jump right in on the map. We're the Arizona-California district, which basically you've got Nevada and New Mexico, most of New Mexico, and a teeny tiny little part of Texas. That's kind of fun. The El Paso guys are part of our district. And then the one guy that's in Hawaii. Now, next week is our fall pastors' conference every year that always comes up, and we all get together. We keep pleading that the guy in Hawaii would host. But you might not like that on your church's budget. But anyway, so we're going to be in Las Vegas, where cheap flights go, I guess, next week. Las Vegas, our district mission board is a pastor there. He's the guy that drives home missions and coordinates with us. And one of the areas that recently has started in our district is Gilbert, one of the fastest growing parts of the Phoenix area. They call it the Silicon Desert. All of those are technology-based companies that, and Gilbert is going to be in that bottom right corner of this area. You got Mesa, Gilbert, Chandler down here, Tucson lower. But I don't know, it's hot over there, but a lot of people are going there, a lot of people are moving there. So that's one area that we are going. We've called a man, Greg Hine. He's been on a number of the Wells Connection videos in the past months, but his work is starting very similar to how ours has started. He's meeting in a school, meeting with people. One of the areas, this is pretty unique. Can anybody want to read that top line there? No? We don't have any Chinese, Vietnamese? No. We have, so Pastor Matt Vogt, our church in Las Vegas, one of them. They had just daughtered in 2008 to the north side of Vegas, Shepherd of the Hills. Right about that exact time was coming into contact with this Korean group, this church that was looking for a place to hold worship services. That's really what they were looking for. And the more that Pastor Vogt dialogued with their pastors and their leaders, the more they realized that they were actually quite Lutheran. They just didn't know it yet. Yeah, 7 years later, Pastor Vogt and others worked and literally confirmed the congregation and their pastors and leaders. You go to Water of Life Lutheran Church in the morning and you will understand what's going on. You go to Water of Life Lutheran Church in the afternoon and it will be Korean. The Korean pastors and the Korean congregation. Together this past year, they, both churches themselves, added on a two-story educational wing. So it's kind of neat when we look at new mission starts. Sometimes they don't happen in the normal way. Sometimes God just opens doors right before you and you don't realize what you have, and you just have to run with it. So that Pastor Vogt is the guy in the upper right, but all the rest are the Korean pastor is to his right and their leaders as well. So neat situation at Water of Life in Las Vegas. Another one, St. George, Utah. Right on the border between Arizona and Nevada and just a little bit of Utah. Utah technically is not part of our district, but it's right in that no man's land between the Nebraska district and us. So we said, forget about the lines. We got to get work. We got to get to work. St. George is one of the fastest growing areas in the state of Utah. So Pastor Michael Quant accepted the call from the seminary to start our mission church there. So it's receiving part funding from our district mission board, part from the Nebraska district. So again, a little bit different way of how things are started, but just reaching out in that area. So we still like to claim it as part of our district working on. I got a point in the right direction. Okay. So sometimes mission work starts unsubsidized. It means we're not going to give you any money. Go. Those tiny little blips on there, Riverside. Oh boy, none of the Schmidts are here. I can't pronounce. It's like Sarahita or Margarita is how I was trying to pronounce it last night. Sarahita, which is south of Tucson. And then, of all the places, Cornville. It's not in Iowa, it's in Arizona. Cornville. So those are some of the starts there. I guess I didn't have them in order of how I thought. But when Pastor, I have to go back to Water of Life and Pastor Vogt, when he was done confirming the Korean congregation, suddenly bumped into another group of African refugees that are coming into Las Vegas looking for a place to meet with a pastor and a small group. So it starts over again. So that man in the bottom left corner is their pastor that Pastor Vogt is taking again through classes and working with their leaders. They're kind of in the area of town by UNLV, so sort of a downtown area. But that's just another group that's working. It's another ministry. It's an unsubsidized one. They aren't getting direct funding because it's just Pastor Vogt working with them. All right, so I guess here we go. This is the unsubsidized one that we're looking at in Vistancia, Peoria, north of Peoria. The congregation there, that's more of a traditional start where their congregation, Cross of Glory in Peoria, is just growing and they're seeing the growth continue further out and north, so they want to reach into that area. Cornville, there it is, you've seen it. That little arrow there, the little blip. Interesting, about 30, 40 members, Wells members that had been coming from there and driving over quite a distance to one of those other little dots on the map up there. Cottonwood. Cottonwood. Yeah, Sedona is right here. So 17 down to Phoenix over here. Prescott, Chino Valley, Cottonwood, Flagstaff right up here, a junction of 40. So this looks like a nice golf course area, corner. Good place to go. I don't play golf. But there is a retired Wells pastor in that area. They're an unsubsidized mission. The guy said, well, I can get us going for a couple of years. And that's what's been happening over the past year, year and a half. They've been meeting each week. The members that were there formed a nucleus working together. And this past, Pastor Schmidt said, I work as our district's evangelism coordinator and teaching schools of outreach. So we do that twice a year. We had one in Flagstaff 3 weeks ago. Cornville sent 25 of their 40 members. Help us do outreach. Help us start. Let's get going. And now it's getting this. So they've been operating on an unsubsidized kind of a platform. Now they're going in to call with some subsidy, but also calling a full-time pastor to that area. So Cornville, yay. And then the one way down, the Margaritaville one, the Sarita one. South of, about 30 miles south of Tucson, congregation that couldn't support. Their pastor took a call. They were right on that border where they could support. They couldn't support. So the big church in Grace in Tucson has four sites now. Three pastors, four sites. Two at the oldest one, and then one of those pastors there, and then drives down to Sarajevo. One, the mission pastor is starting in Vail, and then the same thing happened in Benson. So the mission pastor does Vail and Benson, and the two manage the other two. So it kind of an unsubsidized way of going about it, but they're going about it. Sarajevo sent 10 people up to our school of outreach. So it really helps. That's very encouraging to me. Obviously, they don't have a pastor yet, but they sent their layman up and say, we are going to, you know, go about this. We're gonna stick to it. All right. Sometimes funding isn't there. You might not get full funding, but our Board for Home Mission has sometimes restricted funds, sometimes unrestricted funds that are available. I got to get a little closer to read this. Almost $9,000 was available so that African mission in Las Vegas could get a van, go around collecting people. So some special funds came in that way. Peace in Gilbert, there's $3,000 right there, just tools for outreach and things for children's ministry. That's the one thing, when that's more of a normal startup. But when you have 30 to 40 members, you just don't have that much financial backing, and then to do big outreach events or something like that. So sometimes there are special grants available. River of Life in Goodyear. So take Arizona and go west out Highway 10. Goodyear is a restart out there. Tools for outreach. I guess it looks like another $4,000 for the Las Vegas congregation. That area in Vistancia above Peoria, there was $2,000 available for children's outreach. English as a second language, $3,000 worth of funding. And then Crown of Life in Yucaipa, that's the Riverside, California area. That again is a congregation, Corona, Crown of Life in Corona, started a second site. And when they started their second site, they instantly started a third site. They called the pastor to the Yucaipa area and said, well, we're going to start here, but we've also got things in the work that we're going to work with our church in Riverside in a movie theater. So two services at Corona, one service at Yucaipa, one service in the movie theater. So this is kind of fun. Watch the math here. So early service guy here, 8 o'clock, early service here, 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock gets done, he goes up to Riverside. 9 o'clock gets done, and he goes over to the 11 o'clock at Corona. And then next week they flip-flop, and they do that. So doing things sometimes a little differently than what we're used to. So, those are some of the new mission sites that we are working, looking at. All right, I'll just, come on. Okay, there they all are. Nope. Cold Springs, as I just put on that blip up in that corner in Nevada. So our mission board is looking at, and there's one other one that's on there, San Diego. Pastor Aaron Baim is using, again, the platform of a movie theater on a Sunday afternoon, or an old movie theater, so it's not being used, but a Sunday afternoon service. That way he can do the normal two services in the morning and then 4 o'clock a service there. So that's happening unsubsidized, but now we're looking to support it in some way. So that's that right there. I'll pause because that's kind of giving an overview of this is the work we're doing as a district. You know, that's what's going on in our district locally. And Pastor Vogt is very good at always asking, all right, you know, you guys on site in your area, I want you to come up with lists of where are you going? Where could you see growth? Where could you see some support? Where do you want to reach out into your little neck of the woods? So having a guy like Noel Lederman, who also works on that same committee, to ask those questions, to force those questions, to force us to ask those questions, is a good thing. Where can we go next? What can we do? Because it's not for a lack of people. Just as amazing. So, yeah, we'll just pause here. Some just comments, questions?
Yeah.
It is still there. Yep. There's a. Yes, they do. They have about a, I believe it's a 3 o'clock service in the afternoon. It's about 10 people. There's a pastor named Dan Schaller. He lives in Reno. He is a pastor of an independent Lutheran church that broke away from Shepherd of the Mountains and has a little group by himself. It's an interesting situation, so. Yeah, but yeah, I love where I assume you have been there or you have. Yeah. Yeah, it was the Reno, the Shepherd of the Mountains guy that would go out in the afternoon and drive out and serve Lovelock. Yeah. Microphone's coming to you.
There's been talk of starting a sister church here. I'm on the board of outreach. I was the one who called you, by the way.
Oh, I did.
Hi. Our finances aren't that great here. And I've heard there is some help, like subsidization. How likely, how good of an idea would it be for someone, because we don't have money to really be putting out, that I know of. How likely would that work?
The biggest thing that I can say on that is the planning behind it. If the mission board sees that you have your plans in place, that you have done the legwork, the groundwork. Obviously, I'm a mission church, and I receive subsidy. So, no, we don't have extra money to go give away to start, but I'm writing the paperwork for Cold Springs. But we're also doing that because Shepherd of the Mountain, we mentally operate as one. 5 churches in 20 years, that's our goal. And so when you look at it that way collectively and we say, what can I offer? Here's the one thing I can offer. The guy's name is Pastor Tom Valesky. Pastor Tom Valesky has retired, and guess where he lives? Cold Springs. That's an awesome resource of a man on site. And granted, he's 69 years old and has had 3 strokes, but he has a heart of a missionary and wants to keep going. And I said, Tom, do you think you could maybe do a Bible class once a week, follow up on some people, organize in the community building that's there so you can live stream in our services locally so you don't have to work of preaching and worship folder and all that stuff, but you could facilitate the Sunday service that's happening by us, just live stream in there. And he for a long time ran my men's Bible breakfast. We did a little 19-minute Bible study. I think I saw something similar to that. Luther, where's Paul? Paul Baker is teaching that. Yeah. So to have him run some of a little bit of a Bible study, maybe on a Sunday, just to get a presence in there. So my request is, and we had a summer vicar in there canvassing. We've done some canvassing work in there. We've got about 15 names from that area. So we're saying we can donate the pastor, the manpower, for 10 hours a week. Shepherd of the Mountains might be able to donate some of the funding, maybe $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. That's not a lot. And maybe Board for Home Missions can kick in $6,000 or something that I can write for 2 years that he can go to work on that. And by that third year, have enough of a core group that now it goes to the Board for Home Missions. So that's what I mean. When they see your plans in place, they see an action plan, and then all the stats of the growth and everything else that's just taking off up by Cold Springs, yeah, that's why they prioritized it, and it's number 2 on our district's list of where, because every district gets allotted funding, you know. If you have, you know, starts, if you don't have any mission starts ready to go, you don't get any funding. But if you got stuff ready to go, well, and that's the other thing. The money will be there. It will. It will. God's people respond to things like this again and again. So I saw a couple follow-up. Just
second question. We're, our congregation is dwindling down for most people that have high colored hair. And we're trying, the Board of Outreach is trying to start doing canvassing, building some inroads to the neighborhood and stuff. Do you do any of that sort of thing, canvassing? And no one was in the first.
Hold that till I get on the next part of my presentation. That'll answer it. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're right there.
When you say have your planning in place, should that mean a possible location, the core members of the new mission church that
you
started?
As much of concrete stuff as you can put together, saying this is what we have, research, backing, as much as you can give to the Board for Home, Board for Home Mission, so that when they meet as a district committee and the requests are kind of coming in, they've got something to evaluate. Yes, the more work you do, the better they like it. So that's good. But that's it. When I came to leading up 2006, 2007, leading up to our start, Pastor Beck had a 5-year plan put together for the Board for Home Missions and said, here's our money, and here's what we'd like to ask from Board for Home Missions, and here's what's going to happen in 5 years. That's where you find the crystal ball, and you just go, whoo, and you can see into the future 5 years. So, how are we doing on time? What time do I got to be done? I forgot. Half hour. Okay, we made it halfway through. Shall we? All right, so a little history, giving thanks for what God has done, kind of from 2008 to 2015. First things first, most of you know this, it's Nevada and not Nevada. We will shoot you if you say Nevada. So part of these presentations I've had to do, and I just did it Wednesday at Luther Prep in Watertown, Wisconsin, our ministry training high school. I was back there for ministry day this week. So nobody knows where Nevada is back there. They say, oh, it's by Colorado. Guy, just everybody's failing geography. My dear mother, when I took the call from Atlanta out here, she said, oh, you're closer to home. No, I'm not. All right, yes, find Nevada on a map. There you go. I hope you can all find it. All right. And then you have to tell people, no, the state I live in is twice as big as yours. I drive for 8 hours, and I'm still in the same state. So, all right, enough of that. You've seen the wonderful pictures of the biggest little city in the world. Our two wonderful lakes, that's our landmarks, the Lake Tahoe and Pyramid Lake, most people forget about. That's the only one I really care about because that's the one that's got the fish in it and it's not too far from me. So nice cutthroat. And it's got that really cool pyramid behind it. You can pull your boat right up next to it and it's 200 feet deep. Literally this far away is 200 feet straight down, and then there's hot springs coming shooting out of the side of it. There it is, the famous one, blah, blah. You've been there, you've seen it before. So, November of 2008, the voters unanimously approved a motion to call a pastor to start in the North Valleys. When I came, I won't touch that. I'd probably break it. When I came, they didn't know where I was going to be, because you kind of have two North Valleys. You got the Stead, Spanish Springs area, to the northeast, and you've got the Sparks, Spanish Springs to the northeast, Stead, Lemon Valley, Red Rock, Cold Springs to the northwest. And at that time, we were at 2008, depression, but the market had just tanked. And the foreclosures were all, and nobody was building. It was really, really bad in the Lemon Valley area. Our area was still building, so they said, well, go where they're still building. So that's how I ended up there. So they extended the call in February. I arrived in July. Rented that house on the right and then bought the house on the left 2 months later. It was a really cool deal. That's the best move we ever had. Just got a bunch of people and went like that. So a big house. We have four kids, but also needed to be big because that would be the ministry center. The church has five bedrooms. One of the bedrooms was the church office. The front room, my first Bible information class, I had 17 adults in it. My wife was watching 13 children. It was fun. Installation service the following week. So Pastor Tackmeyer there managed to bring his black stole for me. So I have to laugh. He grabbed the wrong robe when he said he left. Because you're supposed to wear red, and he wore black. I give him a hard time on that. So the star on the bottom, that's where Shepherd of the Mountains is, so on the southern part of the Reno area. And then Spanish Springs, that's where I am up there. If you haven't been there before, it looks like that. And you will appreciate the many beautiful shades of brown. Beautiful shades of brown. It grows on you so nicely. So this is at the bottom end, looking to the north. I'm going to go to the right, looking across the valley. I'm standing in the Catholic Church parking lot. And then from the top end where my house is, that's what I drive in to see every day. That was a winter shot, obviously. But in the background, you can just see the mountains of Lake Tahoe, Mount Rose. It's kind of nice. That's the building. That's right on Pyramid Highway. It's a public building, a community center in a park that's about, I don't know, it's about 400 or 500 acre park. And when the Lazy Five Ranch dissolved and these portions of it were given to the county, this is what the county had to build on it, parks. And so there's a huge water park next to it. There's 80 acres of grass out the back. There's pavilions, all kinds of fun stuff. And it, I don't know, kind of looks like it might look like a church. That's what I always thought of it. We got there on the night of July 3rd from Georgia and got up on the morning of July 4th. My time zones are all off, so it was real early. Some person's alarm was going off, a radio alarm. You know, the song playing out the radio was Georgia, Georgia. I just like, you're funny. You know, I get the kids and we go for a drive and we come down Pyramid Highway and, oh, that's a cool looking building. And that's the library and we turn in there and we right behind it. Well, that's a pretty cool looking building. That's meet the park ranger and said, dude, showed us around. Do you ever rent this place? Well, yeah, all the time. Do you ever rent it on Sundays? Never. Sold. I'm your best customer. And during the midweek, we decided that we got a Thursday night that we could get an hour time slot in there too. So we started with a Thursday evening family Bible hour. And during the rest of the week, we were canvassing. canvassing. September, August, September, October, November. During that time, we uncovered 200 names of people that were interested and wanted to know more about us. Put us on our mailing list. Tell us what's happening. All right? So 200 people, all in that just little area that were interested. That equates to probably about 4,000 homes that we actually hit. You know, but out of that, if you picture one of like a funnel, huh? You know, you may have your mailings, you may have your canvassing, you may have all of that, this big number. But who's interested? Okay, you get some that are interested. And who's really interested? Okay, and then who actually comes? And then who actually comes twice? So that at the bottom you have one or four. But that's you got to kind of work with that mentality. So we did a family Bible hour. I would teach the adults. I had some helpers teaching children. Running, of course, we had awesome location. Did a Christmas for kids. I don't know why that went over there. 28 children. Okay, we put flyers in the grade schools. We got 28 children that came around. Then, you know, January to March, we got to get ready because they said, first Sunday, we'll give you from July to Palm Sunday to get ready for church. Give you 9 months to locate your members. Find your sheep, all right? 9 months to do that. And a few, probably three families only, came from Shepherd of the Mountains. So it's not as though there was a big nucleus. My wife gave birth during that time, so it went up by one for sure. We did have our first baptism, though, on our Thursday evening. So that was a really unique thing that we had. Planning meetings going on. I remember going, okay, what do we need? We need communion, we need altar, we need, so you're ordering supplies, huh? And during that time, God brought a person to us that was a master carpenter. He said, I can build something. And he came back the next day with plans. And then a week later, do you mind if I put some black walnut inlays across in here? Knock yourself out, you know. How cool. Mailers, when we talk about, you know, getting the word out there. So I sent out 16,000 of those to everybody in our area. Every household got one. And it said, the Springs is coming soon. And on the back it said, nothing. All said. And then in February I sent out another 16,500 and it said, the Springs is just around the corner. And the backside said, nothing. We did have a church sign by the Lazy Five at this point. So that logo is what I was really after, getting that logo before people's eyes, getting people aware of it. Some industrious people actually looked up the you have to have a return address, postage, you know. So, but the return address was the house, yeah. So I'd get letters or people would stop by the house. During that time also we had kids come, and that's a group from right here. So they were passed out 7,000 flyers, some from Georgia. So, you see her in the corner. She's in the upper corner. Huh? Yeah. Oh. Oh, okay. Got it. All right. So it was neat. We had from my former church in Georgia, they came up, and so we had teens helping out. And then I had a group from Wells Kingdom Workers, who are students at UW-Madison, college students on their spring break. So when you talk about support or talk about subsidize, sometimes those support and subsidies come from other areas too. Wells Kingdom Workers is a big helper of that. So they sent out teens that helped us do more canvassing and helped us. Then the final flyer went out. The Springs actually begins, and that was our starting date, April 5th, 2009. And then on the back side, it had the full information of everything that was about it. It came out on the first day of spring. I don't know if it worked or not, but, you know, that's when the Springs actually began. Sorry. No. Easter for kids. Now we had 65 children, so more than doubled what we had for Christmas. So word is getting out there, and you've made a lot of contacts. I think the number of pieces of paper that went out between the schools and the mailing and everything else was 113,000 between January and the start time. So that idea of just we really got to flood the area, we got to repeat it, we got to get on that. And that's where sometimes the special funding grants come into play. You know, you might not have extra money to do that much of a budget for mailing, but sometimes there are special grants available for that. So our first, and then Wells Kingdom Workers sent us on the back end, Ray and Joanne Salofra, to help follow up on all these people. Because we had 151 in the first service and 123 the next week in Easter Sunday. That's a lot of follow-up people for one person to follow up on. So Ray and Joanne, retired Wells members from Burlington, Wisconsin, also happened to be the mother and father of Pastor Beck's wife. So they had double reason to come out. And spent the month with us. So the help that was there. The building itself, here's a little tour on the inside. Everything that we have every single Sunday is in that trailer. And our master builder carpenter is gracious enough to store it at his house and bring it for 7 years in a row now. At the beginning it was, okay, pile it in. There's a moving cart that they had, pile in and out, and that got old in about a week. So he said, I'm going to build a cart. He took all of our stuff, measured it, put it into his program, and designed a cart that holds it. And from the side, it looks like that, and from the end, it looks like that, so that you have our altar and pulpit and other stands in there. You just grab a hold, and you just pull it on out, and like a shoebox cover, it just sets right down on top. The side wings fold in of the base, pick it up. There's a, I said what it looks like when it's done. That snaps in place. That came from Good Shepherd Livermore. They donated that one when they got their building. It had a tiny little cross on it, and he looked at it and he said, that cross is too tiny. I'm going to put a big black walnut one on. Is that okay? You can go right ahead. So. So, and also just neat, you have height. That room has height. You've been in a lot of places that are in a school cafeteria or somewhere like that, and you got a 9-foot ceiling. And that kills any singing, and that kills any, you know, just feeling that transcendent feeling of height. Plus, there's also skylights up higher off the end that you can't see. So, very neat. A little kitchenette that it's got. It's the full size of it there. It has a big curtain that divides the room in half. So, during 9 o'clock, I've got the adult Bible study on one half of the room, and then we have four areas of children for Sunday school on the other half, and a teen group over in there. So, you set up for that, and then about 9:50, which they've done, and they've reset the chairs by now, and the wall has been pushed back, and then you get ready for worship at 10:30. So put the chairs around. Looks very similar to this. Problem is that we're right now getting to be out of space. We're worshiping 120 in that room, and it's getting tight. And you got to, who did I say? I got to take people by the hand and say, actually, this seat is much better. It's softer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of Wells people in our church because they sit in the front row. It's just have to. I'm sorry. You don't have a choice. How rude is it for you to say, I want my seat there, right on the end row, because you're blocking. I can't get to that seat down there. I say, I got to train our members. Sit in the middle. Sit up front. Because if a visitor comes, where are they wanting to sit? Right, no, they want to sit in the front row. Yeah, right. You need to, you know, make that. And then also what happens is you start getting that eighth, ninth row. I can't see them. They can't see me. And you lose the connection that you have right away. So no organ, but we have a keyboard and tons of instruments. So some instrument is playing every single week. Just adding to that, getting our kids involved and adults too. And because it's church in the park and it's this awesome building, why not have picnics? So twice a year with Mother, invite Shepherd of the Mountains to come up, and we have joint services and grill out, and you know, bounce houses are fun. So giving thanks for many gifts. When we started, we were the 9-month lead time, we had 39 members, 24 communicants. By God's grace, right now we're 171. Members and 127 communicants. You see that kind of chart going there, and if you know it, you notice some crazy things about it. The first 3 years go, zoom, we hit 103 right away, and then you've got this plateau, and then you've got this. There's many reasons for that. One of them, some of the setbacks that happened. January 6th is when my house caught fire when we were at our Bible study hour. Came home and it's cooking away. That's the ministry center. That's the church office, too. We moved down the street. 8 months later, moved back in, and then the next month my dad passed away. But what also that forced us to do during that time is to get a ministry center, to get a location. We rented in a industrial park an office 1,500 square feet. So, I guess we had a little time. Our master builder guy was taking his concealed and carry weapon permit class, and the guy was lamenting, we can't afford this location any longer. They used to charge $2,300 a month. They've lowered it down to $1,500 a month. We just teach classes one Saturday a month. The wheels are going, well, we need a location. Could we share the rent within the end of the week? We were the leaseholders. They were our subleaseholders. We paid $1,000. They paid $500. And so you go on with this shared lease right away. And that put a strain because suddenly our budget had to absorb $1,000 a month more. and when your offerings are about $4,000 a month. There's a big strain during that time. So there was part of that plateau too. So that ministry center, but it was working wonderfully as a place to go to, and I got a church secretary right at that time too, so someone to help me with office stuff and in a real copy machine that prints and folds and staples all by itself. Loved it. But December 25th, Merry Christmas, the ministry center flooded. -9 causes all the pipes in Reno to burst, especially the ones that are up in the ceiling for the fire. And what happens, because our heat was on, but the half of the building next to us was foreclosed upon, and the bank shut their heat off. So my water pipe, which runs through their ceiling and then comes over to me, burst. 17,000 gallons later, you have a destroyed ministry center. During that time, and we didn't realize it exactly to its fullest extent, but Pastor Beck and Reno started to have absolute double vision and headaches, and about a week of it. And nothing. He did some tests, but nothing really came out of that. Well, May, he had his full-on stroke and knocked him out. I instantly became the vacancy pastor and the supervising pastor for their vicar, too. So now I'm doing two churches on Sunday. 9 o'clock service there, get done, 22 miles later, get up to our 10:30 service. So, double time, more gray hairs, all that good stuff. What's after that? So I did it for a year, and then they had retired pastors share it for another year, and it wasn't until then that Pastor Dermy, a full-time pastor, came to start serving at Shepherd of the Mountains. So you just look, there were a ton of setbacks during that time. In case you're wondering what happens when you leave your stove on and then put a cutting board on top of it and then leave for 3 hours, that. The eggs in your refrigerator will hard boil. Your ceiling fans will begin to drip. Not droop, drip. The polyester, whatever, you know, blinds are made out of, just melt straight off there. Double pane windows, the inside panes are all gone and cracked on the floor. So the fire chief said that probably 10 minutes more and the outside pane would have then broken in. It was stoking, trying to get air from anywhere. And exactly. So then you would have had your back draft. And then it would have been gone. Not a fun time. But then you gut it all out. Again, our master builder, carpenter, awesome to have on site, putting in all new stuff. And you know, what does the kitchen look like? I mean, that's what it looks like. So beautiful, nice, wonderful. Next to it, the living room there, you can see the dripping ceiling fan. But then we get to rebuild it. I actually cut the log down at my family property in Wisconsin and brought it back. A squirrel jumped out of that hole before I cut it. Not kidding. I stole his home and put it in mine. We lived, as I said, 8 doors down the street, so when it was time to move, we just hitched up the wagon to the kids and had them walk their stuff down the street. Our ministry center, there's a little taste of this, you know, office building. We just had that front left quarter of it. Nice space. Teach Bible study, got some whiteboards, you know, it's got a little kitchenette, bathroom, whatever, storage. Actually had an office now for the first time instead of in the home. And then that's what happens when 17,000 gallons floods everything. So it took us about 7 weeks before we could move back in there. But then all of a sudden, I said, that chart, it just kind of took off. And we were just having groups and groups and groups of people join, just kind of going through it, 10 to 15 people that, taking many of them through Bible information class, and it's just neat to see, in spite of all those setbacks, God still kept bringing people to us, and people that, the three-generation thing is such a big thing. Grandma and grandpa come, and then they got their kids, and then, well, the grandkids haven't been baptized. I've done that 4 times over in these pictures up here. Three-generation thing. There you are. Last fall, and then this fall right here. Smile on the lady in the blue blouse top in front of me. She was part of my first class in 09. Her husband died within a year, and they were part of our first core group, and she just could not get herself to come back through the door. 5 years later, she came. She says, "I'm home. I just was so lost and so don't know, but I'm home." So it's nice to have them back. People, older couple to my right in the picture, came up from Tucson, moved to that area because kids are in that area, and they've lifelong Lutheran people, and then we went caroling at the nursing home nearby, and they came down for caroling, and oh, this is the Lutheran church. Well, that's good. Well, which synod are you? You're the scary ones. And every time I went to see her, which synod are you from? The scary ones. She has a bit of a memory loss, but her husband would say, "Oh, you're not that scary." And then they started to come to church, and guess what? We weren't so scary anymore. So it was kind of neat. And then he came up to me last week and said, "Can I start the choir? Because I've been a choir director for 40 years. Scary people. Scary people. Scary pumpkins. Yay. So we do a lot of stuff together. I said we kind of operate as one because we just kind of have to. Kids at, you know, joint teen events that we do together. And so just a big thank you to those, certainly the support that we have. Wells CEF is the bank of the Wells, so when you buy land, they give you matching funds. We were able to buy land for $50,000 right on Pyramid Highway. 2 years ago, they had a special grant. They gave away $1.3 million. We got $250,000 ready to build. Working with Builders for Christ right now to see, hopefully, can we get them. It depends on timing and all that. But just having that support there. So we are, right now, the Lazy Five is that star, and then 1 mile up the road is where we bought the dirt. So, and that intersection is the fifth busiest intersection in all of Washoe County. Remember I said you got six grade schools in that area, but you also take a left at that intersection and you've got the middle school of 1,500 and the high school of 2,500. That's the intersection. Super visible. Here's a picture of the dirt and the sign that's on it. We had a land dedication service February of 2014, so coming a little over a year and a half ago. Service and then went back to the Lazy Five for a big fellowship time afterwards. So, yeah, we own the dirt free and clear. The guy, when he developed the subdivision, gave this portion to the county and said, "Here, this is for you." I don't know what he was trying to butter them up for, but it was something. And, you know, you can use it to build a sheriff substation. Well, in 30 years, the county never had money to put a sheriff substation up, so they were getting rid of this extra dirt. And they actually asked our landlord if he wanted it, and he said, "No, but I know who does." Brought us down there, and he said, "Well, offer him a token amount." We offered him $10,000. They said, "Okay." They were just getting rid of extra land. But then their legal department got nervous. "We can't donate to a church." Like, "No, no, 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 no. You're donating to a..." Somebody say it. "What are we? What are you?" "A non-profit. Your legal status is a non-profit. Has the county given away land to non-profits?" "Absolutely. For parks, for historical buildings, for you name it. There's all kinds of precedent for that." But their legal department got too nervous and said, "Find the original owner, give it back to him, and then he can sell it." And that's exactly what they did. And that guy, who is 89 years old down in Vegas, got a wonderful phone call one day. "We're going to give you your land back, and then you can turn around and sell it and make all the money you want." So he had us over a barrel, and he said, "I don't want no $10,000. I want $50,000. Take it or leave it." And then he put a stipulation on it. He wouldn't sell it to, "You've got to build a church in there in 5 years, otherwise I get it back." So when I say free and clear, it's... once we turn the shovel over, that's all done. So anyway, that's what the whole piece of dirt looks like, 2.6 acres. Pyramid Highway runs along that side, so our visibility is very phenomenal. The church building would be this brown right here, directly into fellowship, and then some office, kitchen, and a few classrooms, about all we can afford right now and build. Looks something like that, hopefully, maybe. At this point, we've gathered almost $200,000 in our building fund. CEF says you have to have 10% in order to start. So we are almost on that regard anyway. I can't wait. There was a Catholic guy who went through seminary, had taken his vows of celibacy, and then end of last year, he just said, I don't want to go into the priesthood. So he went into government work. He loved his music. Of course, he was never married, no kids, no smoking, no pets. Buys for himself this organ, $60,000, to put in his house because he loves his music. 154 voices are on that one, if that means to anybody to anything around here. It can dance, is a simple way to put it. He loved his music. It was 2007 is the year, and then in 2011 he died. So his family was dispersing all of his assets, and they couldn't give it away, and they put it up for $20,000. So a couple of phone calls later, and the money was raised, and there it is. It's sitting in Chicago waiting to be installed. So, all right. That looks interesting. You gave me the cutoff sign, and you must have really cut it off. So, he did. Well, that's interesting. All right. Well, I'll stop there. So, 2 minutes for Q&A. Otherwise, it's pizza and pastor with Q&A afterwards. Come back for part two. Church. Well, yeah, if you did church already. So, yeah, real quick. As far as we're probably weak on that point. Our Facebook site is not as good as it certainly could be, and those things. Radio, I have not. Other things too. We had a October Sparks put on an Oktoberfest, and they said if you want to put a booth up, $25. Duh. We got all those musicians, so we played Oompa music. Roll out the barrel. Just had people walking by. We got 15 names of people off of that. Any other wonderful questions? All right, well, that gives us a minute, so, thank you.